Hey, welcome back everyone to After Hours Let's Talk. This is the space where we slow down, where we stop performing strength and start telling the truth about what is actually cost to survive. Today's episode is about overcoming the odds, not in the movie montage way, not in the highlight reel way, but in the real way. The kind that includes doubt, exhaustion, setbacks, moments where you almost quit, and seasons where just staying felt like a victory. We celebrate success a lot in this world, but we don't talk enough about what it takes to keep going when the odds are stacked against you. So tonight we are talking about resilience, identity, and the long road of becoming someone who refused to disappear. I'm your host, Shorty For Real. And tonight we're joined by Kenneth James Kunkin, and his story is not about being fearless, it's about being persistent. So grab a drink, grab a seat, and let's dive deep into this conversation. But first, we're going to go into our what's on your mind tonight. And our listener wrote in, I feel like I'm starting so far behind everyone else. No matter how hard I try, I feel like I'm always playing catch up. How do you not let that break you? And for me, it's about being able to pace yourself and knowing what you can and cannot do. I tell people and I tell myself all the time, I have to do what I'm capable of doing and what I'm able to do. What others are capable of doing may not be my strengths. So I can't worry about what everyone else is doing. Just know who you are, know what you can do for yourself, and you are always where you're supposed to be. Playing catch up is never a thing. I feel like that's not something that is real in today's, in real life. You're not catching up to anyone or anything. You're moving at your pace and you are exactly where you're supposed to be in the moments today, tomorrow, and yesterday. Kenneth, would you like to speak to the listener on that?
Sure. I would suggest doing your best to stay in the moment, just like you said. I mean, worrying about the past is not going to do you any good because there's nothing you can do about it. That's over. But focusing on the present is what it's all about. That's how you're going to find your way to succeeding. And that's what's important now, not what took place in the past, but what is taking place now and what you hope to prepare for in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. So we want to welcome you officially into the After Hours Lounge tonight. And would you mind just letting the audience know who you are and a little bit more about yourself?
My name is Ken Kunkin. And I think the best way of starting is to bring your audience back to 1970. So a little over 55 years ago. At that time, I was 20 years old. I was in my junior year in college at Cornell University. And I was playing on Cornell's lightweight football team. And in a game against Columbia University, I broke my neck making a tackle on a kickoff. And as a result, I'm a quadriplegic. I'm almost totally paralyzed from the shoulders down.
Thank you for that. So you have quite a story here, Kenneth, and you still have been able to go through life, be successful. You have a family, a beautiful wife. So do you just want to talk about how this accident, even though it was a lot and it caused you to be paralyzed from the shoulders down, how you're still able to push forward and still get through life and do the things that you wanted to do?
Well, I was fortunate that I had a lot of help every step of the way. And my family encouraged me that even though I have a significant physical disability, it did not affect my intellectual abilities at all. So they encouraged me to go back to school, which I did. I went back to Cornell, and I earned my undergraduate degree in industrial engineering. But I changed my career goal because I felt engineering just didn't seem to be a practical field for me anymore. So I then pursued a master's at Cornell in counseling and student personnel administration. And then to increase my counseling credentials, I went to Columbia University, where I earned a second master's degree. This one was in psychological counseling and rehabilitation. And I might add that this was now in the mid-70s. I decided to look for a job in the rehab counseling field. And back then, everyone felt I was just too disabled to work. I looked for a job for a year and was turned down in every application that I applied. I sent out more than 200 resumes. And despite the fact that I now had 2 degrees from Cornell, 1 from Columbia, 3 prestigious Ivy League degrees, 2 master's degrees, everyone felt I was just too disabled to work. And it was really tough keeping my mindset focused on the positive and not getting too discouraged by what was taking place around me. But thanks to my family's support, I continued to look for a job, and I was fortunate to finally be hired as a vocational rehabilitation counselor at the Viscardi Center on Long Island, and that really changed my life and how I felt about myself.
Nice. So once you got, because listening to just that part of your submission there, especially back in that time, people looking at you and seeing you in a wheelchair or paralyzed, and they're just like, you just can't be, like, this isn't going to work. Or, you know, it's just your disability is too much, you know. I know a lot of us today, even just going through regular life, you know, being able to overcome the no's and the discouragement and being told we're not good enough or we're not capable enough of doing things. What were some of the things? I know you said that your family was very encouraging, but for yourself, what kind of encouragement did you give to yourself to push through those negative connotations that were given to you during that time?
Well, I did my best to try and stay motivated. And I know when I was doing my rehab at the Rusk Institute, a vocational counselor there by the name of Joyce Mesh assured me that while I had a significant physical disability, I was not an invalid. Because after all, what does an invalid mean? If you separate the word into its 2 syllables, invalid. And she helped convince me, as well as my family, that my life still had value and that there was an awful lot I could still do with my life. And they encouraged me to keep going forward and not to quit. Mm-hmm. That someday I would secure a job that recognized my abilities and I would be able to make a difference in other people's lives. So I was fortunate to be hired as a vocational rehabilitation counselor. And I worked for more than 2 years there, counseling other individuals who had severe disabilities.
That's good. That's good. Because I know for some of us, it's hard to get past those no's and those negative things that are being said to us. And some of us just give up and we quit and you're like, you know what? We feed into what's being told to us instead of pushing forward and going on, knowing that just because someone is saying these things doesn't mean that this is actually true, you know. So just having that support and having the help and the mindset to be able to push forward is great. And I think that a lot of us today really need to understand that you're only as capable as you believe that you are.
Right. And what helped me a lot was to know that I was still in a position where I could help others. That right. I wasn't just receiving help, but I was now in a position where I could help others as a rehabilitation counselor. And that really improved my self-esteem, my feelings of self-worth, my feelings of self-value, and that made an enormous difference.
Wonderful. So you said you worked there for 2 years. Then what did you go on to do after that?
Well, it was interesting. While I was working there, they kept increasing my duties and responsibilities. And one of my duties was to speak before groups and organizations concerning affirmative action and non-discrimination for people with disabilities. And after my talks, I would usually be asked questions. And while I would do my best to respond appropriately, I was always careful to caution the questioners they should really consult with a lawyer about their concerns. And I guess it didn't take long before I started to think, you know, there's no reason why I couldn't become that lawyer. So I left my job and I went to Hofstra University School of Law. And while I was in law school, I did a summer internship at the Nassau County District Attorney's Office. And I found a new way that I can help people and use my abilities, my speaking abilities and my intellectual abilities to make a difference in people's lives. So I really enjoyed the internship at the District Attorney's Office. I applied for a full-time job for them during my last year of law school. And I was fortunate that the district attorney at the time, a person by the name of Dennis Dillon, placed his hiring decision on my abilities rather than my disability. And he hired me to work as a Nassau County assistant district attorney.
Nice. Well, that's great, because being able to advocate and speak up and help people is an amazing thing to do. And then move into a position where people are now looking at what you can do instead of what you're not able to do is also a big victory in itself as well, because I see the evolving as you're moving through your careers and your schooling. Things are changing as far as people's mindsets and how they're viewing who you are.
And you know what I had to overcome quite a bit was people's limited expectations for what somebody in a wheelchair, somebody with a disability, could actually do in life. And it's a real problem, because a lot of times people's performance often rises and falls based upon what others expect of them. And I had to work hard to keep my expectations high, to show people that I was not going to be limited by what other people's expected, that I would not listen to the naysayers, that what was important was what I believed I could do. And I tried to work really hard to make something out of my life. And it was frustrating, because many of the people I've met in the rehab facility who had disabilities didn't seem to be doing much with their lives. And I felt that was largely attributable to the fact that they weren't encouraged to do more, that people didn't seem to believe in them, that they could actually work and do something productive. So thanks to my family and friends, I was able to rise above that and go out and work first as a rehab counselor and then as a Nassau County assistant district attorney.
Yep, that is beautiful, because I could see that being the biggest challenge you had to overcome. I did want to ask a question. I wanted to ask, if you could go back and talk to an earlier version of yourself, what would you tell them?
Well, certainly never to lose hope that some days are going to be really dark and difficult to overcome, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel, that there's still an awful lot you could do. Sometimes you have to change your perspective on life and how you go about handling adversity, but there's an awful lot that you could still do. And I would say that when I was hurt, I was probably a bit of an introvert at that time. And now I had to be more of an extrovert, because I had to use my voice. I had to speak up to show people that I still had value and could make a difference. And I had to work really hard to push myself to get out more, to speak up more, and to make something productive out of my life.
And that's great, because in a sense, it helps you find your voice in a more positive way, in a more productive way, because being an introvert, I'm a bit of an introvert myself, and I don't like to speak up as much, but I am learning to speak and use my voice, because people will take advantage when you don't. So being able to get that out and open that up and open that piece of you to be able to use your voice, use your intellect, and be able to get things done, which was something that you weren't doing quite as much before. I think it made you a stronger person to be able, because I think everyone's voice, I think that's your biggest tool, is being able to speak and talk so that you're not getting used, you're not being overlooked. You're not being, what's the word that I'm looking for? Taken advantage of, you know. So I think that's...
Absolutely. And I wanted to make sure that I was not just advocating for myself, but for others as well. I wanted to make a difference in other people's lives.
Right. Right. Because, yes, as a lot of people need someone to be by their side, to stick up for them and be able to speak out for them when they're not able to. Because everyone's not capable of speaking and making a difference for themselves. So having someone that's strong and as able to advocate for you and be by your side and support you is an amazing thing to do. I love when people have someone that they can look to and be there for them when they're not able to or when they're not capable of doing it for themselves. So your process, it's been amazing. And helping others in the same situation, not the same situation, but others with disabilities and not able to speak up as you are is a big, big help, because I believe that the community is taking advantage of a lot, because a lot of people do look down and don't think that they're capable of doing a lot of things that they are capable of doing. And people being afraid to speak out or even ask for help or reach out to get the support that they need in order to keep pushing forward is amazing.
One of the things that I had to push myself to do was to show people that there's an awful lot somebody with a disability can do. Because at the time I was hurt, I didn't know of any other role models that I could look to for encouragement or support. Mm-hmm. I mean, my injury took place about 25 years before Christopher Reeve's unfortunate injury. Now, Christopher Reeve was a tremendous role model for so many people. Right. But I was hurt well before that. So it was really difficult to be able to look at others and say, there is still something I could do. And mm-hmm. I felt much of the time, I felt I had to be the first to do things to show people that there's an awful lot somebody could do if they're given the opportunity to do something.
Right. And that's true. You became a great role model. I mean, you have stood up and told people, not being in the spotlight like Christopher Reeves, like, that gave him a big outlet to be able to push that role out there for people to see him, because he was in the world. He was someone people who could see, watch, and do those type of things. Having that type of energy prior to that and not really seeing those things happen, I can see where it would be hard. Definitely be hard to continue to motivate yourself without seeing someone else do it. But you made it through. So you have a family now. How is the family life going for you?
Oh, it's incredible. Just so your listeners know, in 2003, more than 30 years after my injury, I married an incredible woman named Anna. And when we were talking about getting married, Anna said that she wanted to have my baby. And not just a baby, my baby. Now, this really seemed impossible. Not only had I been paralyzed for more than 30 years, but I was already in my 50s. But through Anna's encouragement, help, and support, we looked into various options and found that it still may be possible for someone in my condition to father a child through in vitro fertilization. So we pursued in vitro, and through the miracle of science, Anna became pregnant. And 21 years ago, this week, on January 24th, 2005, I was present in the delivery room. Picture this. I was actually present in the delivery room when my wife, Anna, gave birth to triplets.
Nice.
We have three incredible sons. They turned 21 this week. Joey, Jimmy, and Timmy. And I could not be happier or more proud of them. And it has made an incredible difference in my life.
That is beautiful. That's beautiful. Triplets, all boys. She was she was a trooper. I don't think I would be able to carry that many bees.
Yeah. Oh boy, it's incredible. And our three boys have stayed really close. They're attending three separate colleges in upstate New York. And for their birthday, they all got together to celebrate it. And I couldn't be happier to see how well they are doing and how close they've remained.
That's wonderful. Well, you have made such a beautiful life out of the circumstances that you had to endure. You have overcome so much and you have accomplished so much in your life as well. Through your career, you're advocating and raising a family and those three beautiful boys that you have and your beautiful wife. You have done amazing things. So I would like for you to just, what would you tell anyone going through any type of situation that will cause them to be disabled or not fully capable of doing things that they would like to do in life?
Never to give up. There's an awful lot everybody can still do despite whatever adversity they're facing. Sometimes they may have to think of a different way of approaching problems or situations than they were used to. But there's always a way out there, and they've got to believe in themselves. And hopefully with the right support, encouragement, and learning from their own mistakes, they'll be able to get over whatever problems they're facing and lead a very useful, productive, rewarding, and happy life.
Thank you for that. So you guys, we're going to go into our quote of the night. Our quote states, "You don't overcome the odds by being exceptional once. You do it by refusing to stop." So let that sit with you for a moment and take that with you. As we've heard throughout this story here and the submission, you have to keep going. You have to continue pushing forward no matter what the odds are that are stacked up against you. You are capable of doing whatever you set your mind to. It may not be the conventional way, but there's always ways to get what you want and what you need. So you guys that are listening, if life has stacked the odds against you, please remember you are not weak for struggling. You are not failing because it's hard, and you're not done just because it's taking longer than you thought. You are still here. And that means your story is still being written. So you guys take a deep breath, relax, and just know that the best is still yet to come. And remember that the night always has something to say. And we will see you guys next time on After Hours.